You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The clock is ticking, and CPAs are working mighty long hours right now because our taxes are due in less than a month. What should we be doing now so that filing for 2018 goes smoothly in light of the huge tax reform bill recently passed? With us now via Skype is Leon Labreck. He's managing partner and CEO of LJPR Financial Advisors, and he's a board member of the Michigan Association of Certified Public Accountants. Thanks for joining us, Leon. We need some wisdom.
Oh, good to be here.
First of all, to get us all on the same page, Leon, do taxpayers need to worry about any changes right now as we're filing our 2017 taxes?
For our 17 returns, we're probably okay. We should be taking advantage of all the deductions we will get only for 17. So, for example, some of our state and local tax deductions are changing. Some of our interest deductions are changing, but particularly things like employee expenses, those would change. But for the most part, our 17 returns should be just like our 16 returns or our 15 returns. The thing we have to pay attention to is what changes for 18.
Yes.
There's where we have some pretty dramatic differences, and we have to do things reasonably quick. I mean, as soon as you're done with your 17 returns, start working on your 18 returns.
Ooh, well then let's dive into this and talk about how our 2018 returns are going to be different and what we need to do as we get ready, as you say, jump right in and start preparing. Let's start with personal income taxes. How will income be taxed differently in 2018?
Well, for the most part, everyone's tax rate is going to be lower than it is now. So you're in a lower bracket if you're making the same amount of money. What has happened to most people who have withholdings is their withholdings changed about a month ago. In fact, some people noticed that it was a big change. Some noticed it was a small change. Really important to go check that against last year's tax return to see if you're doing the right amount. The IRS just came out with tables, and they don't know whether or not we're married and whether we've got certain interest deductions, whether we have other kinds of expenses. All of those things have an effect on how much our taxes will be for 18. So you might be humming along saying, oh, wow, I'm going to get a big refund, and then find out not only do you not have a refund, you're going to be paying taxes and maybe even a penalty. Mm-hmm. So the first important tip, check your withholdings. Make sure they're right and check them against your 2017 return.
Okay. And explain to us a little more about how deductions have changed for 2018. And my understanding is more people will be taking the standard deduction next year.
Yeah. So the two biggest changes for individuals is we no longer have personal exemptions. So we don't get a deduction for our kids. We don't get a deduction for ourselves. But instead, we get a much larger standard deduction in a lower bracket. So if I were claiming two exemptions plus my wife and I had four exemptions. Now I don't have any exemptions. But now I have a larger standard deduction. So for most people, and I count about 90% of the taxpayers in the state of Michigan will basically pay less tax and have a much simpler tax return. And then about 10% will pay more or have something else change.
For whom are these changes more complicated? Who falls into that 10%?
Well, the 10% really hits a couple of people that I see pretty dramatically. One is if you have kids over 17 and under 26 going to college, that changes for you. That's a big one because you're losing the exemption for the college age kid, but you're also not getting a child credit for that kid. So that's going to change for those folks. And we see that one there. And that's kind of temporary. A big one is if you're supporting a mom or a dad or an adult person, as an exemption. And there you could have a pretty dramatic one. So if, let's say, your mom's in a nursing home and you're funding her nursing home care, there's a lot of changes there. And that's one that you have to kind of look at pretty closely and pretty quick. Of course, the monster, the biggest one, is business taxes. If you own a business or a partner in a business, there's where the changes are absolutely disruptive.
And so is it more for small business owners where the changes are really going to be felt?
Absolutely. So this is the biggest change in small business since Eisenhower was the president. It's a profound change. And I like to say this is the most complicated simplification I've ever seen of taxes. It's an unbelievable change in what goes on. But in general, small business owners, and in Michigan, we're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of people. This is everybody with a LLC or everybody who's a PC. This is our veterinarian or our doctor or our dentist or the person who just runs a nail salon. All of those people now have an opportunity to deduct up to 20% of their income. But the rules are very, very complicated. And I mean, it's a huge thing. In fact, it's so complicated that if you're a small business owner and you're making less than $315,000, your rate is you've got the biggest tax cut in the tax bill. Hmm. Your rate goes down to about 19%. If you make an extra $50,000, your rate jumps to the highest rate in the tax bill, up to about 47%. It's vastly complicated. It really is the spot that's going to have effect on a lot of people. But here's the interesting thing. You have to start looking at it right now because you can't make these changes in November. If you wait until November, it doesn't do you any good. You have to start doing things and changing the way you do your accounting now. That's where a lot of small business owners are really scratching their heads. And I'm even seeing CPAs scratch their heads going, I'm going to get through last year's tax return first, and then I'm going to fix this. It's you know, a big difference.
So again, to kind of underscore what you said, get it turned in for this year and then plunge immediately into planning for next year with these changes in mind. And it certainly sounds like if it's confusing the professionals, then you want that professional in there trying to help that sort out for your business.
Absolutely. So as soon as your CPA recovers from tax season and gets over the headache that they have, you know, in May, to, you know, go over and have a cup of coffee and say, you know, hey, what's my return going to look like this year? Here's an example. If I was a veterinarian and I was, you know, had what's called a pass-through entity, and I was making, let's say, you know, $100,000 as a veterinarian, but I was taking it all as salary, I'm not getting any benefit of this 20% pass-through deduction. I can't take any of it. So I would go to my CPA and say, how do I manage to get this into pass-through income? Or I might say, I'm a veterinarian, I want to buy a new x-ray machine. Should I write the entire x-ray machine off, or should I delay it over a period of time? Mm-hmm. They helped us out as small business owners, but they made it really, really complicated.
Leon Lebrecht, what about the people who work for the gig economy? They drive Uber, they deliver for Amazon, the folks who are not working for an employer who withholds taxes from a paycheck. What do they need to know about these new tax rules?
Really important, as always, to keep good records. But it's also important to know that they can be right in the center of this new deduction called the pass-through deduction. So if I'm driving my Uber car, I'm filing a Schedule C, it makes a big difference on how I treat my expenses and what I do with my certain expenses. It also means that I'm going to get a 20% deduction on the income I make as an Uber driver. So people who run small businesses really are going to get some benefit. And the magic number is, if you're single and you make $157,500 or less taxable income, or if you're married and the couple makes less than $315,000 taxable income, gigantic benefits, just a huge benefit to being a self-employed person. And we're going to see a lot of that. If I own a business, I want people to be employees because I get a deduction for that. If I run an independent contractor, I want to be the independent contractor. It'll be interesting, to say the least.
If people are confused, which I suspect...
Gee, imagine that.
Yeah, wonder where that would be from. Where can they best go to figure out what forms they need and the kind of changes they need to be making and what changes will impact them?
Of course, having a CPA help you is one of the most important things. And at the MICPA, we've been working really hard with our membership trying to make sure they've got all the tools they need. We've put a diagnostic tool on micpa.org where people can look at their returns and see what things changed. And believe me, a lot of things have changed. There's a lot of things on the web. Be careful of those. But the Treasury is going to issue regulations, I have heard, in July or so. So we'll have some regulations by then. But the most important part is getting a knowledgeable professional. And everybody's got to remember, this bill is still a baby. So we're just into this and no one's an expert yet. So my biggest advice is don't do anything too hastily, but start paying attention to it right now. I've seen people say, well, I'm going to go change what kind of business I run. I'm going to change to a corporation. Or I'm going to change to a partnership. You know, make sure you talk to people and don't just rashly jump in, because you could be sitting here next year at this time going, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Mm. That cost me a bunch of money.
Okay. And we all saw, you know, the big fat pile of papers, this bill, with all kinds of these annotations as they were kind of building as it went, as the clock ticked away. So knowing that this is a baby bill, I understand there's already some changes in the works.
There are. The interesting thing we have to remember is a little civics lesson. This bill passed with the barest of majorities under what's called reconciliation. Mm-hmm. For it to get a technical correction, we would need 60 votes in the Senate. And last time I noticed, we had a little bit of disparity in the House and the Senate between people wanting to vote together. So we could be sitting on all these weird rules and weird things happening for quite a while. And I caution everyone to recognize that laws can change. You know, we could run off and do all kinds of things and try to get things set up and set up trusts and so on and so forth, and then find out in 4 years, a lot of these things go away. To be sure, as a CPA, there's a lot of provisions to this that are really beneficial. Some of the small business provisions are really, really good. I think some of the things on repatriation or bringing money back to the United States are really, really good. But then there, like you said, when things are done in haste, for example, if a business loses money, they can't deduct it going backward. They can only deduct 80% of it going forward. You know, we may run into a recession one of these days and we'll have startup businesses and they won't be able to deduct their losses. It's not good for startup businesses or new businesses. So I think when you get somebody running through and putting a bill through at the 11th hour, sometimes they don't think through every single ramification. And when we had the bill passed in 1981 under Ronald Reagan, 2 years later, they redid it and fixed it. And when we had, under George Bush, we had EGTRA pass in 2000. 2 years later, we fixed it. I would see easily this bill will have to have some fixes. There's just too many things that are wrong with it right now that need to get fixed. It needs to be cleaned up and put in place. On the other hand, for most business owners and lots of taxpayers in the United States, this will be a good thing, but we have to pay attention to it. This is the first time in 43 years that I've seen that you really got to pay attention to these things.
Leon LeBrecq is managing partner and CEO of LJPR Financial Advisors and a director of the Michigan Association of Certified Public Accountants, the CPAs, in the spotlight at this tax season. Leon, thank you so much for your advice.
Thanks, Cindy.